Yeah.
Okay, you moved it.
It's rolling. Yeah, we're ready. Now, I will say, do we have a question? But since we started, and it was still some things on my mind about the doctrine, Melissa has started this question up, and so we'll go back to that. And I can't say this will be the last one, but I don't anticipate another one. When I was telling us, we were talking about the doctrine and how we keep our body under subjection. And it's really how the doctrine works in us, how the word works, how we grow in Christ, how we're built up in Christ. And that is a major issue in Christendom, is our walk. Yes?
I got a question you might want to throw into today if it meets. Somebody asked me a week or two ago about, well, is that it with grace? There's no, we just can go do anything we want.
Right.
So I don't know if that's a good thing to throw in today or another day.
That's yeah, we'll look at that too. That's our walk, which is a good question, which goes, all that goes together with the doctrine. What is doctrine anyway? It's teaching. Right. Doctrine is teaching. But what is any teaching for? What does teaching do? What does doctrine do?
Educate.
It educates you.
Foundation.
Foundation for what?
Truth to build on.
To build on what?
The word.
Okay, get an example. I don't work with cameras, mm-hmm. Right? If I wanted to learn how to work a camera, I picked the wrong subject.
But anyway, go ahead.
If I wanted to learn how to be a photographer, the first thing I have to do is you have to give me a vocabulary.
Teacher.
What is this? Right. What is this part right here? Yeah. What does this thing do? So to give me a foundation. Mm-hmm. A foundation to do what?
Study.
To begin to equip me to do what?
Build on, right.
To build on to do what?
Take pictures.
To take pictures. Right. You just don't go and grab it up and start snapping.
Thank you.
Right? So when we get saved, when we trust Christ, you just got in. Mm-hmm. In the family.
That's right.
Right? You become a brother. And you are part of the brethren in Christ. What's lacking now?
Teaching.
How long? Good. Or what's another word for information?
Doctrine.
Doctrine. That helps me do what?
Practice.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Practice.
To educate me about what?
Truth.
It's when you guys first came here, I said, it's God's will that all men be saved and come to the what?
Knowledge.
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
What did I say? What is it? The what?
Truth.
The knowledge
of
the truth. Mm-hmm. Right? Not just knowledge.
Yeah.
The knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's what we were going through those last weeks is, number one, when you get saved, you need information. You need the doctrine to educate you, the doctrine to practice. To end, the end result is what?
Church.
One big word.
Godliness.
I
guess it will help us.
Godliness. Now we think of godliness. The first thing you think about maybe is, well, what do you think about when you see that word? What do you think about?
Like God.
Like God. Well, what do you mean, like God?
Be conformed unto the image of Christ.
His attributes.
Not sinning.
Not sinning. Which, all right, in the beginning, God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, right? Mm-hmm. Built into his nostrils, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And he told him to do what?
To go out and subdue the earth. To keep it.
To guard it, keep it. To have what?
Dominion.
He was doing this. He was working. He was doing what God wanted done. Right? Mm-hmm. And his mentality was what? On what God wanted done.
Sure.
When you get saved, what is your mind on?
Flesh repentance.
If you're a babe,
right, you haven't been renewed in your mind yet.
You haven't been what?
Renewed in your mind.
Why do you need your mind renewed? Back over here. You want to practice. You want to practice what God. One of the things I say, I always, like, I meet these pastor guys and deacons, and we talk for a while. I get to know them. I said, let me ask you something. I said, What is God doing today? That's the $64,000 question. Because if you don't know what God is doing today, how could you know what to do?
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
How could you? Every company, and I'm sure Ed does too, you go in and they say, what's your mission statement? Right? What's our goal? What do we want to do? Where do we want to go? Do you think God has a mission statement?
Yeah.
That all men might be saved and come into a knowledge of
God. Which is...
He's redeeming.
But what is he... What?
He's redeeming the earth back.
Not just the earth, but what?
The world.
The heaven and earth.
Yeah.
He wants to reconcile these things to himself again. And he's using us to do it. Like Karen talked about the Jews, he's using them to do it on earth. He'll use the body of Christ to do it in the heavenly places. But right here, and Karen said it 2 weeks ago about we have a chance down here to represent him.
Mm-hmm.
That's a privilege.
Yes, it is.
So, the information and the doctrine is to educate us about what God wants done. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's why we do so many different things. That's why every church has a different agenda. You ever notice that? Almost every church has a different agenda. But we all say we're working with God.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we?
Yes.
God is really using us. And what's going on in there is really ungodliness. Now, you think that the word, it sounds kind of harsh, but if you're not doing it God's way, what way is it?
Ungodly.
Your own way. If it's not godly, it's what?
Ungodly.
And we'll see that in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 6.
There's no gray area.
there's no gray area. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. He says this. Paul says, we then, as 6:1, 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Drop down to verse, well, let's keep reading. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. And he goes on and on. But he says this. He says, we are laborers, right?
Together
with God. He says, we're godly. And then he goes on and he talks about, what does he talk about? He didn't talk about building buildings. What does he talk about when he goes on? We just read it. He says what? Look at verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, what?
Approving ourselves as the ministers of God.
That's, look, he says, in all things, watching our practice. You know he had the doctrine, right? He says, we are working with God, so what we do is we watch our practice, that nobody can look at God and say, what doest thou? The minute you say, I'm saved, I'm a believer, there's a spotlight.
That's right.
And you can't go to them and say, well, I just got saved and I got a lot to learn. Well, you could. But how much weight does that have with them, with on the outside? But here's what we do. Look at verse. I'm gonna say flip over to verse. Well, I think it's First Corinthians. Yeah, First Corinthians chapter 15. Let's get on track here. Same group of people, the Corinthians, right? We know they were saved, but they were carnal, right? You think their behavior, you think their practice was godly?
We know it wasn't.
What they were doing, it wasn't showing that they were working with God, was it?
Right.
That's why Paul had to write to him. He says, I beseech you that you receive not his grace in vain. They were, Ed, they were doing what they wanted to do. They got saved and they began doing what they wanted to do. What they had always done. That's why he said, don't you know that these people won't inherit the kingdom of God? And he said, and such were some of you. But you've been washed, you've been justified, you've been sanctified. He says, now, let's take a look at your practice. But he lays down the doctrine first. He told them who they were, what they had, what God wanted from them. Then he addressed their practice, right? And even so much so, the very foundation of their faith, they questioned the resurrection. All right, let me ask you this. Well, look at 1 Corinthians 15. Verse Yeah, verse 31. I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat, drink, for tomorrow we die. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the
knowledge of God.
I speak this to your shame. So he's telling the Corinthians, he said, if you don't believe the foundation of your faith, that Christ was resurrected. Now, we learn in Romans, what was he? He was resurrected, and we were resurrected with him to do what? To walk in newness of life. So if I don't believe in the doctrine of the resurrection, am I concerned about walking in newness of life?
No.
Of course not. And that's where the Corinthians were. That's why he said, be not deceived, evil communications, what?
Corrupt
good manners. Bad doctrine makes bad practice. Because they say, well, there's nothing else after this. So what's wrong with what I'm doing? Right? You become a law unto yourself. Whatever you want, that's what goes. And he says, some awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. Well, wait a minute. I thought they were believers. Mm-hmm. What does he mean? They don't have the knowledge of God.
They don't have the doctrine.
They haven't gone past babyhood.
He's telling them there's a lot more after you get saved. That if you want to work with me, there's a lot more to it than just getting in. Right? You know what? I would bet. You know, it's a good day for Michael and Angela. I'm sure it was for anyone who had parents. It's the day when they start helping. Am I right?
Yeah.
Well, you can call and say, Mia, Mama's going to be a little late. You cook. Now she's working with you. But before she cooks, you can't bring home SpaghettiOs and out of a bag or a can. She's got to get some teaching to prepare her to cook. And then you say, that's my little worker. Right? Well, what about God? Why would he send a man somewhere who's not prepared?
That's what the world does. They get saved and they put them up on the pulpit real quick.
They just
fill a slot.
Every other job, like I said, you go through training.
Yeah.
Every job.
Yep.
But with God, we're raring to go. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That's what we think.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go. Let's go over to Ephesians, and we actually talked to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4.
Chapter 4,
verse, let's start at verse 1. I'm going to skip a few things here because there was something I wanted to.
And Deion Sanders,
2 weeks ago.
They put him up immediately. He was going all over places, all over the country.
Who is that?
Deion Sanders, football player.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's Ephesians 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now, when Christ died, that's, when Christ died, he had all power. And when he died, this verse said he led captivity captive. That is, all the people and the positions were now his. This may not apply, but when you bought your brother's company, everything in there was yours. You knew that, didn't you?
Yeah, including the debt.
Including the debt. But we can say that when Ed bought that company, he led captivity captive. All the people, all the material, everything was his. And he can say, well, this company wasn't very profitable, but there's some things I need to do to make it profitable. And he might say, well, first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to fire this guy right here. With dead weight. Or, first thing I have to do is bring in another guy. So when Christ, when he, his death, burial, resurrection, he says, now it's time to empower my body. Right? So the first thing he does, he says this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? Whoa. I'm going too fast. He gave some what? Some apostles, prophets,
evangelists,
pastors,
teachers.
What does an apostle do? Just give me one word. What does he do?
We do.
All right. We'll just cut the chase. What's the prophet's? What's his concern? What about an evangelist?
Word.
What about a pastor?
Word.
What about a teacher?
Same.
Right? Every one of them, everything that he gave to the body, it was to give this doctrine. For what? So they can know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Well, why would they want to know what he's doing? So they can work with him, mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We'll go back here. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and he goes on, he tells us. Why did he do it?
For the perfecting of the saints.
For the work of the ministry. Wait a minute. What does perfecting mean?
Equipping,
maturing, all that is you want to prepare them for work.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What is the work? He says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. What is the work of the ministry? For the edifying of the body of Christ. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the
knowledge.
knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He says, until you grow up. Until you grow up, you're going to always need perfecting. You know, it's kind of like you buy an old car and you want to get it back in running condition. So you have to work on it. You begin to put your time and effort into it. You want to get it back in running condition. Right? Mm-hmm. Same way with God is, he took us off the scrap heap. And then he says, now you take this. You take this doctrine and give thyself wholly to it. And then it'll work. And then you can say, I know, like Paul said, I know in whom I believed. And I'm fully persuaded. If you don't have this, you can't say that. Saints sitting sick in the hospital. If you got the wrong doctrine, you'll question it. You'll say, well, what's God doing? What have I done to deserve this? I'm praying. The church is praying. The pastor's praying. The deacons are praying. My grandmother is a praying woman. I don't know another woman that has suffered more than her. From her childhood. And she always said, well, maybe that's just my lot. And it's downhill now. I mean, this is not coming back this way. She won't be able to do anything. So her life has been consumed with death, sorrow, and serving other people. But she says, well, she never doubted God. But even with that, you know what I think about? She doesn't have all the doctrine. So, say, let me tell you something, Mama. Scripture said this, that this house, if this house dissolve, well, she know it is. It's breaking down. If this house dissolve, you have a new building. Not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. What am I going to tell her? Let's get some other guys over here and whatsoever we ask in Jesus' name. She's 80-something years old. That's been done. That's over. That's not happening. For me to rerun that, that's insult. Because then she'll start doubting God. Anyway, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen, us in here. Do you know God? Do you know God? Amen. You can't know him. I'm not saying do you go to church every Sunday. I'm not saying do you go to church on Wednesdays. I'm saying do you know him?
One thing I used to teach along this lines, as far as the importance of getting in this word, I said, imagine that you never knew your grandmother and she had passed away, and you found a trunk that was filled with her thoughts and adventures and just all these things, and you could sit and you could spend time and you could get to know her through what she had written down. And it's, you get to a point in studying this, it's like old married couples where if one can start speaking and the other one can finish because they know their thoughts. They know what they think. And it's the same thing. You know, if you didn't spend time in this, you really don't know the mind of the Lord. You think you do.
Look,
it's your imagination.
It's the God of my misunderstanding. Right. Which is not funny, but you can't, that's what this book is for, is that he might reveal himself to us.
Amen.
This is his mind. Right. Hold your hand in Ephesians. Look at Hebrews. I'm going to show you Hebrews. A verse. Chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, he said this, that his Son is the express image of God. That is, he's the caricature. You go to the fair, Memphis Fair. We used to go to the fair in Detroit. And you go out, walk by, and they says, "Let me draw your picture." Mm-hmm. And they draw a caricature, a picture of you. Mm-hmm. And it's just a comical picture. You know those people that if you had been a victim of a crime, and they'll say, "Describe him to me." And it says, "Well, he was about so high, and you know he's." Short hair, or and he had a mole right here, or whatever. They would describe him to the T. Well, they would say, "Well, describe God to me. If I ask you, describe God to me, what would you say?"
I would describe Jesus Christ to
you. You would just
out of the Bible.
You would have to. It wouldn't be the pictures we see. It wouldn't be the pictures we see hanging up on the wall, would it?
Nothing
to do with the flesh. It wouldn't be the stuff that, how could I tell that God is in this group? It wouldn't be the stuff, the shenanigans we see going on TV and in our buildings, would it? You can walk in and say, God is in this place. The way you can describe him is by the information, because the information has to dictate the practice. I give you an example. We'll get back to this. A lady asked me. She says, "I want you to come to my church." This is back in Detroit. She says, "We have a good time in the Lord all the time." I said, "Okay." I finally said, "I'll be over there certain night." I pulled up, packed. Parking lot full. Walk in, I hear the music, and I get in, and it wasn't 5 minutes where everybody is up, they're waving hands, speaking in tongues, and I kind of look around, and they probably say, "What's wrong with him?" You know, I'm looking around, and you know what I'm doing? I'm looking for God. You know why? Because I got this. Mm-hmm. And I know that what they were doing doesn't line up with this. I know their practice for the tape. I know their practice wasn't lining up with the doctrine for today. So I knew they weren't working with God. Because number one, he said this. Now, if you're going to speak in tongues, there's a doctrine that tells you how to do it. There's a doctrine that tells you how to do it. There's a doctrine that tells you how to practice those tongues that God would get the benefit out of it. And when I saw it, it didn't line up with the way God said do it. So guess what? That practice was not godly.
Ungodly.
It was ungodly.
Yeah.
And she said, did you have a good time? I said, no. She said, what's wrong with you? I said, let me show you. I said, the first thing is you had a bunch of women speaking in tongues. And besides that, I said, nobody interpreted anything. And she says, oh, this is unto the Lord. I said, like, that's what I thought. There's Lord's many, there's God's many. But unto us, there's one. And I said, I knew it. I don't play with this. I don't play with this. This is not a hobby. It's either right or it's wrong. Now, if you can read that and you can slice it and dice it and twist it and turn it, and if you're satisfied with that, go at it. You don't have to answer to me. But I'm reading it. So I said, hey, that's your church. If you like it, go back over there, but you won't be seeing me. And I love you in Christ. Okay. What are you going to do? Yeah. Right? Back to Ephesians. Now, what Ed made a point of is if she was saved, guess what God didn't make her do? He didn't make her obey the doctrine. She went for an experience over the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
She was saved. She could do what she wanted to do. God wouldn't come down and strike them. He says, okay, the Corinthians were doing what they wanted to do. Weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't make them do it. That's what grace beseeches.
Mm-hmm.
The law drives. The law demands. Grace says, would you please? Would you please learn the doctrine? Would you, when you learn it, would you please practice it? Because I do want you, I want to use you. I do want to use you. That's voluntary. Back in Romans, you have to volunteer this. You have to volunteer your body.
Run for that incorruptible crown.
You have to volunteer this body that God bought. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
You think about this. Jesus Christ, he says, he came unto his own. It wasn't just the people. Everything was his. Who created the world? It was his. And the people in it. And he went through that ministry and they hung him on a tree that he made. Isn't that something? A tree that he said bring forth the trees, and they hung them on a tree that he made. They cut it down, made a stake out of it, and hung them on his own creation. his own creation hung him on his creation. Now he comes to us, and he says, "All power in my hand." He could demand obedience. But he doesn't. That's what makes the doctrine of grace so sweet.
So we don't have to, but we want to.
And you know what? The only way you want to. Let's keep going in Ephesians. He says, the information is there. It's there now. We don't need any apostles now. We got the complete Word of God. We don't need any prophets now. We have the complete Word of God. We got all the doctrine. Evangelists, you know what? See if you believe this. Paul said this. He said, this gospel has went all over the world. You know, people say, well, they don't have the translation over here. You know, this started in Asia. It started in Jerusalem, Asia, Rome, all around the world. And now the people, the very people where it originated, are communist, atheist countries. We're trying to get Bibles over to Asia now. Paul said, I've been all through there. I've been all over there. When Rome, and at the time of Christ, it was dictated by pagan culture. 50 years from now, they're going to look at us and say, if it's around that long, they say, what happened to America? What's wrong with those people? We just don't heed the doctrine. Anyway, I was telling evangelists, this word has been around. Pastors, teachers. Now, I hold my personal opinion about that, but you got, what do you have right there? Can you read? When you go home, look, when Paul said this, he says, study
to show thyself approved unto God.
Study
the doctrine, practice
to what? Show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study then to show yourself approved unto God. Ephesians verse 14. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We don't believe that either. Who would deceive you with the Bible? With Scripture?
Oh, an angel of light. I don't know all of them. Minister, right?
It would be anybody but Ed. Right? When I say that, anybody but our pastor. Right? Oh, no. That's what they say. Do you know your pastor is misleading you? Oh, no. Oh, what are you talking about?
He went to cemetery school.
If he's not teaching the doctrine according to right division, guess what? You can't tell me you turn on the TV and you don't see some shenanigans. I turned on the TV the other day. We'll get back to this in a minute. I turned on the TV the other day. This man was in Detroit. Bishop Wayne T. Jackson. In Detroit, he used to give out handkerchiefs, anointed bottles of water by the gallon, for a blessing, of course. And I was flipping, and I said, no, not here. Not in the Bible Belt. And I thought, I said, come look at this, baby. Look at this. She said, you know who that is? She said, yeah, that's him. Down here on TV. With all his, they would come up and just throw money on the steps. And he, you know, he's somebody here right now. He says, come up here. And he, you know, he'd do all his. Look. Is that man working with God?
No.
On agenda.
But his practice, people would say, is full. The place is full. How do you know he's not working with God? What doctrine? What?
Paul.
Because we know. Mm-hmm. If you know the doctrine, you can point them out.
True.
You can say, hey, slight.
Amen.
Thank you. Slight. Yeah.
Three card Molly,
right. We used to do pick a card. Any card at all.
Mm-hmm.
Look at it. Put it back in the deck. It's sleight of hand, tricks.
Mm-hmm.
But he's using this.
Yeah.
Pick a verse.
Mm-hmm.
Any verse at all.
Or he'll pick one for you.
Or he'll pick one right. Now this is I'm not saying it to be comical. It's but this is how important the doctrine is.
That's true.
It's not just to, it's to protect our practice, but it's to equip you to do what God wants done.
Amen.
Why go somewhere? Why listen to a man for years and years and he never gets you closer to God? He never, when you leave, you still don't know God. You're still ignorant. Like the Athenians, Paul, he says, I'm looking around and you got all these altars. You got all these altars up here, and I see one inscription says, to the unknown God. He says, to the unknown God. So it's obvious that you don't have any information about him. He says, now, if you had the information, then your practice would be different. I wouldn't see all these in these altars. So he says, him I declare to you. Let me tell you about him. The one, right. He said, I know him. Let me tell you about him. I know him. So you can put down those idols to serve the true and living God. You know what's idle today? Well, baptistry, tongues, signs, miracles, wonders,
Bands.
It's nothing like
the church itself. There's a lot of them are nothing more than glorified
buildings. The buildings, and listen, we're free. We're free.
Amen.
Grace frees you,
yes.
Not to do, like I said, not to do what you want to do, but to pursue Him,
mm-hmm.
if you want.
Yeah.
You can't pursue Him without information about Him.
Yeah.
Verse 15. Oh, finished up that 14. He says, whereby, he says, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, cunning, you know what? That's, if you didn't know anything, you'd say, wow. Look, sleight of men, cunning craftiness. He said, whereby, by their craftiness, they lie in wait. To do what?
Deceive.
No, to bless you.
To deceive.
No, to strengthen you.
To deceive.
No, to edify you.
To deceive.
No, to enlighten you.
To
what?
Deceive.
You mean
you get free and then you get
the deacon? The pastor?
Mm-hmm.
On purpose?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that.
Yep. Back in slavery.
I rebuke you.
Based on
based on I've been knowing him for 20 years. My mother went to this church.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
My grandmother went to this church. He says, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up, grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that, which every joint supplieth.
Amen.
By that doctrine that every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every. You know what, these words should be standing out to you. It's got doctrine all over it. Watch this. He says, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to. Those two little words right there, mm-hmm. It's always associated with information, with doctrine. You know, he told Noah, he says, you make sure that you make the ark
according to
the way I told you to make it. He told Moses, he says, you make sure you make the tabernacle according to the pattern that I showed you in the mount. He tells Paul, he says, now to him that's able a power to establish you according to my what?
My doctrine.
And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to what?
The
revelation of the mystery.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Which was kept secret but is now revealed.
According to. Mm-hmm. He says to Corinthians, he says, listen, you, the doctrine I received, that you are saved, whereby you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, that Christ died for our sins, according to what?
The scriptures.
That he was buried and rose again the third day
according to
the scriptures. He says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part.
Mm-hmm.
How much is in you? How much doctrine is in you? How much
you put in there.
Is you can only give what you've received.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't plant if you don't have a pocket full of seed.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can't water unless you have a pitcher full of water. Right?
Mm-hmm. But only God can give the increase.
But only God gives the increase. He says, according to the... You think about it. You know why we don't grow as a body? Everybody's running on empty.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's running on empty. You know how these people acting foolish? You really acting foolish? Because they're running on empty. They don't have the doctrine. Look, he says, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Doctrine is what grows you.
Amen.
Whether I get it from her, or Roy, or Ed, or Michael, Angela, if it's doctrine rightly divided, it's nourishment to the body. So you got, you know what? Hey, we got my friends. You say, let me show you something. We've been studying this guy. And this doctrine is right. So let me show you this. So they see it right there. You got some wholesome words. Wholesome. Nourishing. Good for you. Build you up. Strengthen you. He said, we got some wholesome words. You should listen to that. The words of your apostle. It'll show you how to work. It'll show you what God wants done. And they said, wait. You putting him over Jesus?
Whoever received him, I sent.
You could.
Yeah, that's what they say.
You putting Paul over Jesus? I can't go along with that. He didn't even know enough doctrine to know that Jesus Christ was a minister to the circumcision.
Amen.
To confirm the promises made to the fathers.
But his words are in red.
Right. No, listen.
And you thought she knew something.
But this is not exactly what I had in mind, but you see the importance of the doctrine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it educates us on what to do and how to do it. And last, I get 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
He says, verse 17, because all this doctrine God has went through, he has went through lengths to give us the doctrine. Right? And he said, now, for you saved people, he said this, and this is Paul said, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from September 25th on, you may have never heard this doctrine. He said, from this point on, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the emptiness of their mind. You can't hang out with the crew. The crew, they don't know this doctrine. Hello. Can't hang it.
Well, I just like to say what really hits me is that most of the churches today are skipping the doctrine and giving them some practice.
There you go. That's true.
And whose practice is it?
Their practice.
And their practice would be what?
Whatever the church rules.
Whatever they want to do.
Right.
Wash cars, cook chicken, mission trips, whatever. And it could be good things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you don't get to the cart before the horse, do you?
Okay.
Because you might get all the way over here and you say, God, have we not cast out devils in thy name and done many mighty works in thy name?
I never knew you.
And he'll say, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
You.
Come on in.
I never knew
you. He'll say, depart from me, ye
workers of iniquity.
You ungodly people.
I never knew you.
Not I knew you for a little while, and then you
never.
Wait a minute. There was good things they did, though. He says, therefore, he says, don't walk like the Gentiles walk. When you get saved, it's you can do what you want to do, but that's not his will. For any of us. That's what Paul said. He says, I want Christ to be magnified in my life.
You gotta finish 18.
Whether by.
Yeah,
okay.
Alienated from the life of
having the understanding darkened.
Yes.
being alienated from the life of God through the
ignorance
that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's what unsaved people do. He says, don't listen. He talked to saved people. He said, don't you act like them. That means you can.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
He says, but don't you do it. And he goes on. He says, but you have not so
learned.
Where'd you get that doctrine from? It wasn't from Christ. It wasn't from Paul. Who taught you that? That you can do what you want to do after you get saved?
Wow.
Who taught you that?
Okay.
The old man.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, he says, I'm telling you what my ways that be in Christ. So Paul said that I teach everywhere in every church. And it ain't doing what you want to do either. It's not doing what you want to do. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to stop right there. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. Lord, we pray that the verses would be lifted off the pages into our hearts. Strengthen us, enlighten us, and we'll say thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Excellent.